Joining us on the line right now is Chris Champagne. Chris is the author of Secret Louisiana, an unusual guide. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ian. How you doing? I'd like to second your motion about Eric. He was a stand-up guy.
Indeed. I had never met him in person. There's no reason to think that he knew who I was, but in the way that you think you know somebody because you watch them on TV or you hear them on the radio, man, what a loss, indeed. Did you ever get a chance to meet him?
Yes, I did. I was on a couple of panels with him, he was very nice to me and always kind of supportive of me, so I appreciated that.
I wonder if that was the same panel that you and I met on.
No, I don't think it was, actually, but I think it was a little bit earlier than that one. But it might have been. It might have been.
Who knows? Okay, Chris, I ran into you at the People's Health remote that we did out there on Veterans Boulevard last week, and you introduced yourself and said, I'm familiar with you from the panel we were on and from your work in the radio, and you wanted to tell me about your book. And I got a copy of it, and I've been flipping through it since we spoke last. And I'm really impressed, man. I didn't have, like, low expectations for what your book was going to be like, but it's just pleasantly surprising. It's just so well put together and easy to read, and I can't wait to just, like, get in a car or get in a train and just go look at some of this stuff. If you can, just give our listeners the sort of elevator pitch about what this book is and what inspired you to write it.
Okay, well, thank you very much for the compliments. Yeah, well, I wrote Secret New Orleans previously for Jean Les Public Editions, which is the publisher of this book. They're in Versailles, France. They do guidebooks for cities all over the world. This is the first time they've ever done a state. So I pitched the idea to Mr. Jean Les, and he accepted. And so I went around the state. I drove over 14,000 miles. And they're smaller museums, things you might not run across in other guidebooks, like there's a place in Scott, Louisiana that's out in the country, not too far off the interstate, and there's three trees that a lady put together to unburden your soul. It's called the Tree of Souls. You just throw your shoes up on it, and you make some kind of a meditative statement to yourself about it, I guess, and things like that. You know, and the American Fencing Museum is in Shreveport. You wouldn't think it would be there, and it was kind of an unexpected find. And, it was just fun just to drive around the state. It took me a long time to do it, and the book, I think, did turn out really well. It looks pretty good, I think. I appreciate your kind words.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have any other favorites or markers or entries in your book that really surprised you or took you off guard?
Well, the grave that the only person to survive the Alamo is in northwestern Louisiana, Moses Rose is his name. So there's a story behind most of the entries. You know, in order to get in the book, you had to have some kind of a story. You had to have something to say about it. So there was that was kind of an unexpected find. The former capital of Texas is also in Louisiana. It's just Los Ides. It's just west of Natchitoches. Two of my favorite things, I think, was that there's a religious painting in a Catholic church near Brobridge, where there's a rendition of the Last Supper, and on the table to the left of Jesus is a bottle of hot sauce. So that was kind of an interesting find. That might be my favorite one, I think.
That is so funny.
Yeah, it is. And at LSU, they have the original Mike the Tiger. He's stuffed in a little museum not too far from the stadium.
I don't think
a lot of people might know about that. And then I guess my favorite find was a friend of mine works at LSU, and he kind of stumbled across this. And there's an old blackboard from the 1946 Vanderbilt LSU game, and they have the starting lineup of the LSU team, you know, chalked in. And Y.E. Tittle, who's a very famous quarterback at LSU, is the quarterback. Mm-hmm. But if you go two up, you see the name Champagne, which is my dad, who played at LSU, and was All-American there. So that was kind of that's probably my favorite find, I guess.
Okay, so, like, what's the target audience for this book? Who do you find is most interested in these kind of secret guides about places where they lived and their families lived for generations? Like, how do you get people to recognize that there's stuff all around them that they don't know about?
Well, I think it's a dual. If people who are coming from someplace else, they're looking for something unusual, it does say unusual guide, so they might be drawn to it. But I think also local people, which you just said in the beginning, I think it's a great book to take a road trip with, you know, and I think that it has a local audience as well as a, visiting audience, tourist audience.
Wow. Oh, I'm just looking at the... Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's okay. That's about all I had to say about that at the moment.
Okay. I'm looking at the last page in the book here. It says from the same publisher, they've got secret guides for all sorts of different places, like all these, you know, major cities and different places all over the world. So your book is actually part of a sort of broader collection of these secret guides. You're in good company here, man.
Yes, that's true. He's done almost every major city, I think, in Europe at this point. And when I did Secret New Orleans in 2017, I think I was the third or fourth city he'd done in North America. I think I was fourth, as Washington, New York, and Montreal. And the other thing is, I think that the book is also going to be published in French, because since it's a French publisher.
Smart.
So I think that it'll appeal to people who come from French-speaking countries to Louisiana. And Louisiana is almost perfect for that, because there's so many connections to France in our history here. And I think that'll appeal to people, you know, from those French-speaking countries.
So I know you said that you drove 14,000 miles to collect all this information. If you already said this,
yeah.
I'm sorry, but how long did that take you to not only to do all the driving, but to actually, you know, go in and, you know, examine these places and take these photos and such?
Well, it took me 2.5 years, actually,
yeah,
which is longer than I thought it would. But I had
to
go back to some places again to get better photos and things like that. So if you saw the car I drove around in, you'd be amazed as well. But that's another story. But it made it.
What car were you driving for all that?
Well, I had a Toyota that had about 270,000 miles on it at the end. And I had a hole in the roof because my moonroof blew off. So I had something over the top of it. Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. How did you? Wow.
Yeah, but
that's crazy.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Okay.
I've got a book signing coming up.
Yeah, please, go ahead and tell us about that.
I've got a book signing coming up on November 13th at Octavia Books.
13th.
It's a Wednesday night at 7. So I wanted to get that in if I could, or Tom would be mad at me.
Okay, great. Yeah, of course. November 13th at Octavia Books. And, of course, we love to support our local booksellers, but for somebody who that's not available an option right now, or they can't drive all the way here, this is available anywhere books are sold, isn't that right?
Sure. You can get it almost any bookstore. That's one of the things about these books. I mean, Mr. Jongles,
right.
You can get them on Amazon. But you also, if you can go to some of the local booksellers, I'd appreciate that as well. Because Blue Cypress has them, and Garden District has them as well.
We love Blue Cypress. Blue Cypress, Garden District, and Octavia. Anything else you want our audience to know before we let you go, Mr. Chris?
No, that's all. Although the Secret New Orleans books are still available as well, they were a pretty good seller, so you can look for both of those. And I think you won't be disappointed like you were. And I appreciate the kind words.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can't wait to get started.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Nice to speak with you again, Chris. Take good care out there. We'll see you next time, man.
Okay, man. Thank you again. Bye bye.
Absolutely. All right. When we come back, we'll do that news bomb. We got some sort of unfortunate political narrative lines that we got to kind of touch on today, but we'll try to kind of containerize that to the 2 o'clock hour. So if you want to talk about that with me, now's the time to do it. We're going to kind of try to move on after 3 o'clock. But, you know, it's election season, and, you know, people love to complain like, I'm tired of hearing the same thing every day. I'm tired. We are, the whole country is so tired of this election. We are ready for it to be over. Hopefully it's over a week from tomorrow, or at least sometime in the middle of next week. But until then, we have to talk about this, and we will talk about it, and we will make it useful to you, entertaining, and insightful. That's my promise. I'm Ian Hoke, sitting in for Scoot. We'll be right back after this.